you, great spirit.
Welcome to worship at Hollywood United Methodist Church. We are glad that you have joined us in person and online on what here in Los Angeles is a very warm morning. I invite you to stand as you're able for our opening hymns.
Good morning. Come on up if you want to join us. I see we have my baby
awesome.
Yoda here today.
Oh, yay.
Yay.
Come on up. Have a seat. Have a seat on the steps.
Come on down. Welcome. Yay. All right. So today we start our summer series where we're going to do different activities, whether it is watching movies, as we're going to today, short films, or crafts, indoor, outdoor activities, continuing on the theme of love makes a family, and we are a beautiful family. Oh, she's got to go get her baby Yoda. We are a beautiful family here. My name is April Olt, coordinator of Children's Ministries.
And I'm Kevin McCluskey, and everything that April just mentioned is on our little family calendar here. So if you have little ones, if you have grandchildren, or if you have friends or family that you have children, and would like to know what we have going on every single Sunday this summer, plus a bunch of different special activities, these can all be found in our text on the table.
So today our film theme is going to be on the diversity and beautiful relationships that we have with our families and how we show that. And one of the ways that we show that is through food. I don't know about you, I'm a big fan of food. Anyone else a big fan of food?
Yeah. Love some food.
So I had a tradition growing up with my mom where we made potato pancakes, which were part of our German family culture, and it was always with the sour cream on the side and the applesauce, and it's something that my mom taught me and was passed down to me. Annalie, what do we do every Saturday morning? What do we make?
We make waffles.
We make waffles. So that is Bubble Saturday, so it's a time that she and I bond over making food. Does anybody else have something that you do with a parent, some food that you make together? You do?
Bagels.
Yum.
That's
anyone
great.
Else?
I just make food.
You just food. Just food in general.
Food in general.
Yes.
I love that. I can appreciate that.
In my family, we have a Polish heritage, so our tradition was to just stick the word Polish on any food and call it that. So we had Polish pancakes, we had Polish pretzels, Polish potatoes. I don't really know the difference of any of those, but right. It was great. Anybody else have any food that you share in your family or make or grandparents have passed on? Well, luckily, we'll have some time to talk about this in both children's church and in youth groups, so...
And we're going to split up today, so those who are in third grade and older are going to go with Mr. Kevin and Ms. Zuki and be in the grace room, and those in second grade and younger are going to be with me in the nursery, because we'll have different movies playing in each one of those places. And again, we're going to continue to have this be a place where we celebrate all of us, where we celebrate all of our families, and even our families here, our beautiful and wonderful church families, both here and those who are joining us virtually. So let's all bow our heads in prayer. Dearest Lord, thank you for giving us such beautiful and diverse stories, lives, families, and the culture that we share both with one another and continue to share with all of our community and with this global community in the United Methodist Church. We're so blessed to have this place here that is our space where we can share, where we can be open and truly create our beautiful and diverse family here. And we'll continue that as we work together toward a more perfect world. And all God's children said,
amen.
Amen.
We invite you all to now stand and pass the peace of Christ to one another with a wave, a hello, an elbow bump, however you'd like.
Peace be with you. We're so glad that you're here this morning, and I invite you now to enter into that special time set apart for conversation with God, for prayer, and for the solace, the joy, the inspiration that it brings to us. So take a deep breath. Breathe in and let out all those things that you've been carrying this week. And allow our chancel choir to take us into this sacred moment together.
It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer.
It's me, O Lord.
Let us pray. Creator of life, parent to us all, thank you. Thank you for giving us this beautiful morning, for the sun and the blue skies, for this church, a safe place to call home, and this family we share, a group of folks discerning your calling. We are grateful for this moment to gather in your name, and we invite you to pour your Holy Spirit over us so that we might feel your presence and your guidance in all that we do. Dear God, we thank you for the rainbow, this beautiful symbol made by you. It has become a symbol of joy and celebration. It is a symbol of our thirst for liberation. Thank you for this recurring and visible reminder that even in the most difficult moments, your will for us will prevail, that the floodwaters will recede, and that tomorrow will bring new possibilities. Thank you for this reminder that you are a God of hope and that we are your people, and you will never leave us alone to face the suffering in this world. Thank you, God. This morning we pray for women, girls, and trans men across this nation who are facing a new and very dark day, whose protected rights over their body and access to reproductive care have been stripped, who have been told that we are not capable of governing our own lives and making our own choices. Dear God, we lift up to you all who know fear and pain in this moment. May you bring us solace. We lift up to you to our rage, our uncertainty, our anger. May you channel it into a righteous stream that seeks justice and change. Put us to work, God, put us to work. Take these feelings and make them fuel for a world that is like your beloved community. And now we offer you a moment of silent prayer as we lift up our own thoughts, our own prayers, but also remember all those across our nation who do not enjoy the same protections we do in our state and who are grappling with this pain and fear this morning. Dear God, we offer you prayers for our nation. May we be diverted from the dangerous path that we are on. Guide our decision makers. May they remember to do what you have called us to do, to center the voices and the lives of the least of these, the most marginalized. May they be guided to build a society where all people are allowed to flourish and live with freedom instead of in fear and under control. We know that you have made us to be free people, to live in love, to build community, and to share your joy and the holy gospel of the freedom of your Son that he has offered us through his life, death on the cross, and his holy resurrection. Guide us. Give those of us with privilege the courage and the strength to use our voice with certainty, to stand for our neighbors and for ourselves. Help us to be true disciples of Jesus and the people of the way. Thank you for your Son, Jesus, and in all our joy at being your children and at all our heartache in this present reality, we lift up the words that he taught us with confidence that they are always heard and you are always with us, words that both comfort and invite us into a new tomorrow. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
We are so glad you have chosen to worship with us this morning in person and online. For our first announcement this morning, we have a report from our annual conference, which was held just a couple of weeks ago, from two of our delegates, Devin Michael Jones and Emily Redenbach.
Good morning. All right. Normally I'm on the other side of the camera. First of all, who knows what annual conference is? Okay. Retired clergy can't, yeah. Okay. For many years, I didn't either. I sat out there in the pews. So what it is CalPAC, which is our conference, is made up of 50,000 members and about 350 churches. We all get together once a year. And this year was the first one back in person. We were at the Costa Mesa Hilton, which was really nice. But it's kind of like the House of Representatives, where churches get to send delegates instead of 50,000 people showing up. Churches send delegates, and we all do quite a few things there. The conference is made up of keynote speakers, singing and worship, excuse me, breakout sessions, service projects, and business such as nominations and legislation and voting.
So this year our theme was ending physical and spiritual hunger, which we did in the physical form of we made blessing bags, which is something that we love to do at our church, to give out to people at a homeless shelter. We celebrated Bishop Hagia, who has been our bishop for this conference since 2016. He is officially retiring on December 31st of this year after how many years? Six? Can I do math? Is it? Time has no meaning anymore. After several years in our conference, so we will have a new bishop starting January 1st of next year. And speaking of which, three new bishops will be elected by the jurisdictional conference in November, and we voted for our own Reverend Dr. Cedric Bridgeforth to be one of those candidates, so it is entirely possible that come November, he will be trained as a bishop, which is so exciting for us. We see these lovely t-shirts in front of us here. These were kind of a last minute thing because, as Rivkin Kathy mentioned a few weeks ago, the Florida 16, there were 16 members of the Florida delegation who were not put forward to be ordained for ministry because two of their members were LGBTQIA. We, at this particular conference and at this church, we do not agree with that, so this was a fundraiser to support them. They sold out within the first day, which is awesome, so you cannot get one, but you can still have proceeds, you can still donate towards their cause to try and get them ordained, which they should be. And in that vein, we also passed safe harbor legislation to say that CalPAC is a safe place for any clergy who wish to marry anyone who is in love. Because we believe that that is a fundamental right for all, and particularly this week, that's something that we find fundamental rights are very important to us. So, Devin, you got anything else?
The cheesecake was very good.
There were no tater tots this year, which if you've ever been to annual conference is a huge deal, so the cheesecake was important.
Yeah. Thank you.
We're Methodists. We like food.
That's right.
All right, Rev. Thank Kathy, you. Back to you.
We were all devastated. Well, many of us were devastated. Most of us were devastated. We all should have been devastated on Friday with the Supreme Court decision. This is the United Methodist Building in Washington, D.C. that sits adjacent to the Supreme Court on Capitol Hill. And what the marquee there reads, Christ values and trusts women. Follow Christ. I'm glad for that witness, as we as a United Methodist Church have. And then we go to Pastor Bridie, who spoke, was an impromptu speaker at the West Hollywood Candlelight Vigil Friday night, representing both congregations. So we're proud of Bridie for her witness. I'll be saying more about this next Sunday in my sermon. But for this morning, we want to welcome our guest organist, David Tinoco, who is with us today. And And we want to welcome Eric Feltes, who was to the pulpit today. Eric was our Eric was our Pride coordinator this year. He is an actor and he is a life coach. He especially works with gay men who have experienced church shame. In other words, if you grew up in a church where you were shamed because of who you are or who you love, Eric is the guy you want to talk to. And just follow him on Instagram. I do, and I'm telling you, I love all of your messages because they are inspiring and simply point to the fact that we are all God's children. So we welcome Eric to the pulpit this morning. Yeah. You know there's a lot of announcements if I have to have notes. I want to thank Dan Cox, Terrence Hartwell, and all who volunteered for the Father's Day barbecue last week. It was terrific. We'll be having lunch again on August 7th, which is our all-church picnic, in which our Harmony family will be coming to join us here at this campus. And so if you want to volunteer, send me an email and I'll put you on the list. Next week, our annual summer sermon series, Crosslicks, begins, and we will begin with Tick, Tick, Boom. So that's the film to watch. The idea of the urgency of now is so important in that film, and it will be important in the sermon, but I'm not preaching today. So, last week we offered to you a QR code for our vision survey. It is here now. If you have not completed the survey, please take out your cell phones and click on that QR code. It will take you 75 seconds to complete it. I promise. It won't take any longer than that. And if you want a hard copy, Deb Whitaker will walk down the aisle and give you a hard copy that you can place in the basket in the back as you leave. The governance board is trying to take the temperature of how we go forward in ministry in a hybrid setting for the coming year. What are the activities that are important to have in person, which are online, which could be found in both places. So please take a moment and fill that out. That QR code will be live until the 17th of July. All that we do here is made possible by you, by your prayers and your presence, your service, your witness, and your financial gifts. So as the ushers come forward, I encourage you to be as generous as you can so that we might continue to build our ministry here in Hollywood, in Toluca Lake, and online.
A reading from Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Word of God, words of life. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, Hollywood United Methodist Church. I enter this space with so many mixed emotions. Excitement, for one, shown by me coming to the podium a little too early. By the way, Bridie, you can clap for me anytime you want. I come to this space with gratitude for Reverend Kathy, who understands the importance of allyship, who understands that allyship is amplifying the voices that are different than yours, who understands the importance of opening ears and hearts. I come to this space with gratitude for Fred and Rance, who warmly greeted me at the door when I walked through their space, our space, for our sound and our lighting tech, who help us to be seen and heard, for our choir and our guest organist, who fill this space with beautiful music, for the people that I see in front of me, who welcome me into their space, their church home, with open hearts and open minds and open ears. My gratitude, however, extends so far beyond the brick and mortar of this church building. I am standing on the shoulders of giants, of LGBTQIA+, giants and trailblazers who made it possible for me, in my privilege as a white, cisgender, Christian male, to be speaking my truth to you, particularly the black trans women who are murdered at a significantly higher rate than anyone in this country and continue to be ignored. I would not be here if it were not for my community that made it possible for me to be here today. Gratitude is just one of many emotions that I feel right now. Show of hands, if you felt more than one emotion in the last hour, can I just see you? Oh, beautiful, I love you. I thought that was gonna have to be pulling teeth, no. I come to this space with rage and with deep sadness and an underlying deep sense of betrayal. I come to this space with rage that I, in my head, right or wrong, am purging onto a small group of people that feel it is their place to make decisions for the entire country. I come to the space with rage because these decisions were made because someone was voted into office from a political party that has not won the popular vote more than once in the last 30 years. This is not America. This is white supremacy. And I do not say this to shame. I say this to enlighten, because these decisions that have been made do not reflect us, do not reflect the majority of this country, and do not reflect the body of Christ. I come to this space with rage because I think of the people in my life that say they love me in 2016, who at the same time said that I was overreacting. And we are seeing that overreaction in real time. And if we think this is going to end here, it's not. Last night, I had the privilege and the honor of joining a couple of my friends at a movie in the park in Hollywood Cemetery. And I looked around into the audience and I saw different body types and different colors, people that come from different religions and cultures, people that have been burned in different ways, all joining together, and I thought, this is America. This is the country that I love. These are my people, and this is the body of Christ. One reason why I'm so proud to be a part of the LGBTQIA+ community is because of our resilience. And my friends, we are not over. This is not over. This has just begun. And I want to hold myself accountable and say there are times where I trick myself into believing that we are done. That is my privilege. That is my privilege speaking. And I want to hold myself accountable for that privilege and say, enough is enough. I'm so proud to be a part of a community, both the LGBTQIA+ community and this church community, who understand and who raise my voice up. You know, I haven't always felt this way about my community. You see, for the first two-thirds of my life, I believed in a God that did not love me. And now I am standing in front of you, getting ready to show you how my love, how my queerness is next to godliness. Amen? I want to go back to the first two-thirds of my life. You see, when I was a child, I knew that I was different from the other boys. And once I was old enough to recognize what made me different than the other boys, all I wanted in life was to not be that thing. But what happens when we focus on not something? I want you to think about it for a second, and I'll do this with you. I want you to close your eyes with me, okay? We're gonna focus on not thinking about something. So our eyes are closed. I trust you're doing this, don't cheat. And whatever you do, do not think about a pink elephant. Who cheated? Who thought about a pink elephant? All right. Oh, you're so participatory. I love that. I have another one for you. I want you to imagine your best friend is running up to you urgently, and they put their hands on your shoulders, and they say, do not freak out. Oh, okay. Cool. What do? You freak out, right? So when a scared 13-year-old boy cries himself to sleep at night praying the words, dear God, I do not want to be gay. I do not want to be gay. I do not want to be gay. What happens? I put into practice a vicious cycle of self-denial, and I would pray the words, dear God, change me, change me, change me. And truly, with tears streaming down my face, I believed that God would change me. After all, if we look at our verse today, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. I believed that God would change me. Now, my festering fear was doubled down by many people and factors in my life. For one, we live in a straight until proven otherwise society. And that means that members of the LGBTQIA+ community must come out in order to live authentic lives with a strong sense of belonging. But there is so much standing in our way before we can do that, my friends. I distinctly remember one of the pastors of my evangelical church in Aurora, Illinois, preaching about the dangers of homosexuality. As a child, this is me as a child. As a child, I believed that homosexuality was an abomination. If you are an ally, particularly if you are a parent, I ask you to use empathy and put your child in my shoes and imagine what it feels like as a child to be led to believe by your spiritual advisors who you admire and trust that your authenticity is a one-way ticket to burn in the fiery pits of hell for eternity. Can you see the fear in my head grip tighter as I justified God's hatred towards me? And I'm not alone. Here are some sobering statistics from the Trevor Project. Two-thirds of LGBTQ youth who reported that someone attempted to convince them to change their sexual orientation or gender identity. Ally, an invitation. I want you to imagine the first crush you've ever had. Now I want you to imagine someone that you love and trust and admire telling you that you are wrong to feel that way. And if you ever feel that way or act on that, that you will be punished forever. 42% of LGBTQ youth who underwent conversion therapy reported a suicide attempt in the last year. The this is not Christ. I am so tired of people using Christ as a weapon to marginalize when almost half of this group of people attempt suicide in the name of Christ. Bad theology does not make for good psychology. LGBTQ youth who experienced discrimination related to their sexual orientation or gender identity were twice as likely to attempt suicide. What happens when we focus on not something? My friends, the writing is literally on the wall. What happens is that we erase ourselves from the inside out, and the act is literally killing us. Dear God, I do not want to be gay. I do not want to be gay. I do not want to be gay. Y'all are like, this is Pride Month, and this is our guest. This is so sad. Yeah. Yeah, it is. The body of Christ is a lot of things. We are inflicted in many ways, and this is sad. And it's messy. And it's authentic. That being said, I don't want to overstay my welcome in the negativity. So let's shift our mind out of that space, out of scarcity and into abundance, out of fear and into love. I invite us to look at our next verse, Mark 12:31. Gosh, you guys are on top of it. You're so good. Love your neighbor as yourself. And I love how this verse is written. Love your neighbor how? As you already love yourself. God, I love Jesus. Put your own oxygen mask on before you put the oxygen mask on your brothers and your sisters and beyond. It's an assumption that we are already asked to love ourselves. And I would say this means love all of you. I would also argue that loving yourself is the most Christ-like thing you can do. Now, there might be someone saying, no, that's not true. The most Christ-like thing you can do, according to the text in the Bible, is love God. And I say, yes. I say we're saying the same thing. I also think that could be a sermon for another day, so let's put that one on a shelf. First, love yourself, my friends, and love all of you. Do you know what that includes? That includes loving your fear. What? No. Your fear has been passed down from you from generation to generation. Your fear has kept you alive as a child. Yes, it's preventing you from living now, and we'll get there. But let's see our fear. Let's remember that love is an action, not a feeling. Love your fear, see your fear, process your fear. And this goes for queer people and members of the LGBTQI+ community and allies alike. You see, the coming out process for most of us is exactly that. It's acknowledging your fear and then choosing to move through it anyway. I ignored fear for the first 25 years of my life. But then something miraculous happened to me. When I was 25, I was engaged to a woman. And no, that is not the miracle. Hold on. I was also a theater and a Spanish teacher and a theater director. And one summer, I was about to direct a musical, and I took my choir director, my music director, out to dinner. We were sitting at dinner for 2 hours. The scripts were next to us, and we did not touch them because I was too busy falling in love with his eyes, wondering what his hand would feel like resting in mine, what his skin might smell like if I had the opportunity to press my lips against his. For the first time in my adult life, I was seen, and I saw Christ in him. Shortly after this experience, my friends, I called one of my evangelical pastors to tell him about this spiritual emergency. And he said to me, Eric, I do not know if you are meant to marry this woman in 6 months. By the way, can you tell I'm raising the stakes? The wedding was in 6 months. If there are any movie producers out there, this is a great one. Rev Kathy did not approve that comment, by the way. That was last minute. 6 months before the wedding, he said, I do not know if you are meant to marry this woman, but what I do know is that you are meant to marry someone in this box, and that men are outside of the box. So, needless to say, I felt even less comfort and more confusion. And shortly after that, I did something that I am not proud of, and I cheated on my fiance. And in cheating, I recognized that cheating was a symptom of living a closeted life. That hurt people, and I did not want to hurt people anymore. One thing Christianity has always gotten right in me is that God is always with me. And another thing I've known in my bones is that God is too big for a box. So if God is always with me, and God is too big for a box, then a closet is no place for a human being to live. Soon after that experience, I confessed what I had done to my fiance. I broke off the wedding. She finally saw beautiful. I don't think she thought it was beautiful. She finally saw the messy and authentic me. And because the Save the Dates were out, so did my entire world. You see, the coming out process, my friends, it's a universal experience. Now, I know what some of you are wondering. Does Eric think that I'm gay? And honestly, I think everyone's gay, so I'm the wrong person to ask. If you are straight, I love you. Don't try to pray it away. Coming out is a universal experience, my friends, because it is risking relationship for authenticity. It's leaning out, pulling yourself out of fitting in and embracing belonging. Fitting in is cutting off pieces of yourself to be what society says you should be. The word should belongs in the category of fitting in. Belonging is being a part of something bigger than you, being seen, safe, and celebrated because of who you are and not in spite of who you are, so that we can build community. Coming out is risking relationship for authenticity. It's telling your father that you would rather have ballet lessons than play baseball. Your prom date that you love them without knowing how they might respond. It's telling your wife that you just lost your job, and more importantly, that you're scared. Coming out is risking relationship for authenticity. So acknowledge your fear. Don't hide from it. I just wish there was an example of what to do next in the Bible, because now what do we do with this? What do we do? I want us to think about what happened to Jesus the night before he died. For some context, Jesus was 33. He knew that one of his 12 closest allies was about to betray him. He knew that he was going to be beaten, stripped, humiliated, tortured until he breathed his last breath. Can you imagine how scary that would have felt? Let's see him right now in Gethsemane. Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch over me." Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." One thing that I love about Jesus is the more I love my queerness, the more I feel seen by Jesus. When I was in seventh grade, around that time where I recognized that I was different from the other boys, that's when I started experiencing depression for the first time. Strong correlation, yes. My parents, doing everything that they could without knowing the full story, took me to see a therapist. And around the third session, the therapist said to me, "Eric, well, you're probably gay." And I hated him for that. That night was one of many nights that I cried myself to sleep. "Dear God, I do not want to be gay. I do not want to be gay. My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." My friends, the work starts by noting the fears that are holding you back. And the work continues through that process into questioning your fear. See, there's this idea that some believers have that faith is certainty. Faith is far from certainty. Faith is sitting in the discomfort of the unknown and choosing to believe anyway through your questions, as shown by Jesus. Do I have to do this? God, I don't want to do this. Do I have to do this? The work continues by leaning deeply into a place of love. God is the ultimate source of radical, inclusive, unconditional love, as shown here by Jesus when Jesus says, "Take this cup from me, but not as I will, but as you will." When I took the leap of faith and flung out of the closet just 6 months before my wedding, I chose love. And in sitting in my newly out self, I learned to be still, but this time without the wet blanket of inauthenticity. I learned to be. I learned to question what was holding me back. I learned to realize that if I risk relationship, I might have authenticity. I began to embrace the authentic version of me that longs to belong. And my friends, as a child, I did cry myself to sleep at night, praying the words, "Dear God, change me." And thank God, God answered my prayer. But God answered my prayer in a godly way, in a way that does not fit in a box, in a way that does not fit in the mind of a seventh grader wondering, what does the rest of my life look like? No, God is so much bigger than the box that I put God in. God transformed my mind into a place of radical, inclusive self-love. I can't think of a more Christ-like thing than that. And today I grow in my purpose, my authenticity, and my love for God and for others and for self. I even have dedicated my life to helping gay men free themselves from church shame. My friends, it's not easy, but I want to address the people both in the room and both at home right now, particularly those people who have yet to risk relationship for authenticity, particularly those people in the LGBTQIA plus community who are trapped in a closet. I see you, and I am so sorry that we have, as a church collective, have failed you. And I will never stop fighting for you. And I hope one day, my friends, my brothers and my sisters and beyond, I pray one day that you are able to open your heart and recognize that God can transform you and help you to love yourself as well. And truly, I say to you, I cannot think of a more Christ-like thing than that. My friends, thank you for letting me be a part of your space today. I love you, and I love this community. Happy Pride, and God bless. Thank you.
Rise for our closing hymn. Can we get another round of applause for the amazing Eric and his incredible personal story? Family, Church of God, people of the way, go into the world knowing that you are loved. You are divinely blessed. Love yourself for all of who you are, the whole pieces, the broken pieces, and the pieces that are yet to come. And know that you are vessels for God's work. We have nothing to be afraid of because God has told us we are loved. We need to just put that love into action in the world around us. Go in peace and be God's hands and feet in the world. Amen.